We've caught up with Todd Nettleton from the Voice of the Martyrs USA, and today we are looking at a nation that has been struggling, I would say, almost silently through this COVID crisis, because really very little attention has been paid to how the situation, the global pandemic, has affected Cuba. So we're going to find out a little bit more today about what's going on there and what the state of the church is in the meantime. Todd, thanks so much for being with us today on Mission Network News.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
You know, when we were looking at Cuba, the last time we were looking at Cuba, we were looking at a major leadership change in name. And some things that seemed like it was opening up, some austerity, not maybe austerity, but methods to kind of shift the economy away from what it was into something that was a little bit more long-term survivable, I suppose. And in the process of all of that, opening up new businesses and that kind of thing, there were a lot of people who fell through the cracks. When we talked about what was happening in Cuba then, it seemed like the church and the pastors in the church were really struggling. Things got a little bit better, and now we're on this side of things with the coronavirus pandemic. What is happening to the church now?
Well, the church is having hardships, just like the church in the U.S. is having hardships because of the coronavirus. Now, for most of us here in the United States, we moved from meeting in person to meeting online. That's not really an option for Cuban Christians because very few people in Cuba have access to the internet. And so Christians are really anxious and desperate to be back together and to meet together. That's something they're asking us to pray about and pray for. The other thing is the coronavirus has brought pressure and has brought persecution. There have been pastors that have been harassed. There have been pastors who had their homes visited by police or by government agents. Hey, we're doing a safety check. We're barging into your home. But it was purely harassment. It wasn't out of a concern for the well-being of the pastors. In the midst of this, they've had a major storm. And as well, the food supply has been affected. And so there is a lot of struggle right now in Cuba for Christians, but also for everyone else as well.
Now, one of the things that we've heard pretty consistently is how hard food is to find. What is their specific situation? And typically when we hear about food shortages, in a number of countries, what we've seen is that the Christians aren't necessarily overtly rejected, but they find themselves without food. Is that a similar situation?
I don't know that there is food to be distributed in aid. So, in some countries we have seen where Christians are singled out and left out of the aid process. Cuba is a very poor country, and so there may not be an aid process for them to be left out of. There has been an increase in violence. There has been an increase in theft in the country. And so there's just a lot of upheaval and a lot of anxiety in Cuba. Like I say, not just within the Christian community, but within the entire Cuban community.
And again, during all of this time where everybody's been separated into isolation, you were mentioning that the secret police were coming around and doing welfare checks and things like that. It seems like since nobody's gathering, there is nothing to be running afoul of, and yet we're still seeing these kinds of situations. What's behind that?
Well, this is an opportunity for the government to continue to put pressure on the church and particularly on pastors and church leaders. And so they're going to take advantage of that opportunity. The other thing is they see Christians as undermining their authority, undermining the government. And so even like a Christian journalist has been accused of disseminating enemy propaganda for posting what's happening inside the country, what's happening with the coronavirus, what's happening in Cuba. The government doesn't necessarily want the rest of the world to know that, and so now he's accused of this crime. Pastors have been pressured and accused of different crimes. So it's a continuation of what we see in Cuba under the communist government there. Every opportunity to pressure the church, to pressure pastors, is an opportunity to try to suppress their ministry and suppress the work of the gospel in Cuba.
What are you hearing from your partners on the ground about what they need from the body of Christ?
Well, the first thing they want us to do is pray, and pray for their provision, especially with the shortage of food. Pray that food will be available, that they will have enough to eat. And I think also pray that they will soon be able to meet together again. There really is that need for fellowship and encouragement that comes as the body of Christ gathers together.
Anything else you want to add about that?
Nope, I think we got it.
Let's move on then to a story that's actually hitting a little bit closer to home for our listeners in West Michigan, and that is an incident that took place on Monday this week. A Nigerian pastor and his wife were killed in Nigeria. He's a Calvin Theological Seminary grad, and ostensibly he was training to take the to know how to lead a church, and went back to Nigeria. Tell me a little bit more about the situation as you know it.
Well, this pastor and his wife were apparently in their field, in their garden, working on their crops, and they were attacked and both of them killed. There are also reports that she was pregnant at the time, so their unborn child was also killed in this attack. This is yet another attack in Nigeria, targeting a Christian leader, targeting a pastor, and in this case, someone who worked at a seminary, so a trainer of pastors. Yet again, we see Christians being targeted. Nigeria has been on a sort of nationwide lockdown because of the coronavirus, but it has not slowed the wave of attacks by both Boko Haram and by Islamists from among the Fulani tribe. So this is yet another attack in what, since March, I believe we're up to 17 or 18 attacks just in a two-month span. So The coronavirus nor the government authorities have slowed the attacks against Christians in northern Nigeria.
Well, what can be done about this? It seems like this is just an ongoing situation, and it's really difficult for the church. It's frustrating for everyone because it doesn't seem like there's been much in the way of headway.
It is frustrating, and the government of Nigeria seems to lack either the will or the ability to get control of these kinds of attacks and put a stop to them. And, the Christians in Nigeria know that, and so they understand our protector is God. The government is not going to protect us. Our protector is God, and yet they continue to serve. And so I think what we can do is pray for them to have courage and to be able to continue. Pray for the children. There were 8 children left behind when this couple was killed. And so pray for their family as they adjust and grieve and move on in their lives. And pray for the church, because every time a pastor is killed, it becomes a little more weight on the rest of the pastors who know, hey, I could be targeted too. They could be coming for me next. And so pray for Christian leaders in Nigeria right now to have the courage and the strength to continue on.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Nope, I think we got it.